handcuffs, and he was going to see if he could somehow get out of those handcuffs. A great crowd surrounded the event. They were going to see if Houdini could do this. They wanted to cheer him on. They put the handcuffs on Houdini, and he goes down into this little dark room and starts working on getting the handcuffs off. About 10 minutes, 15 minutes pass, and Houdini comes up from his room, and the crowd starts applauding. But turns out that he just needed a little bit more light. So they give him a little more light. He goes back down the room, keeps working on the handcuffs, comes up about 10, 15 minutes later. Crowd starts going wild, but he still has the handcuffs on. He just needed to flex his knees a little bit, and so he flexes his knees. And so he goes back down to the room. He starts working on the handcuffs about 10 or 15 minutes later. Comes up. Crowd starts cheering again. This time he just needed a pocket knife. He gets a pocket knife with his teeth and cuts off the clothes that he has because they're kind of constricting him. Goes back into the room, starts working again. 15 minutes later, he comes back out, and finally he has escaped from the handcuffs. Someone asked Houdini later and said, why did you keep coming up to the top where the crowd was every 15 minutes? Why did you do that if you didn't have the handcuffs off? Why'd you keep coming up? And Houdini said, well, I guess I just needed a little encouragement. And I think that's the way we are sometimes in life, that we can get so hunkered down on the task that we are doing, trying to live for Jesus, trying to follow our Lord and Savior, trying to be faithful to Him, that every now and then we need to pop up and we need to hear the encouragement of the crowd. This summer we've been studying the book of Hebrews in a series entitled Anchors. And the book of Hebrews was written to a group of people who were tired. They were frustrated. They were spiritually weary. They were going through a spiritual storm, and life was not easy for them. They were second-guessing their commitment to follow Jesus. And the Hebrew writer knew that what they needed at this time in their spiritual walk is they needed to be able to pop up like Houdini and hear some encouragement. And so that's what the writer tries to offer to them in Hebrews chapters 11 and 12. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapters 11 and 12. Maybe you are someone who likes museums. We have a lot of wonderful museums here in Fort Worth, and maybe you've visited several of them. But whenever you go to a museum of some kind, an art museum, it's got a lot of different art pieces. And you walk around and you look at the different pieces of art, the different paintings, and you think it's really neat. But if you really want to have the true museum experience, then what you really need is you need a tour. You need a guide of some sort who can walk you through that museum and can let you look at the pieces and the paintings on the wall, but then tell you the stories behind those paintings, tell you the meaning behind this picture and why it's something important, why it's hanging in this museum. And that might be a good image for what's happening in Hebrews chapter 11. That the writer of Hebrews knows that these tired, worn out, burned out Christians need some encouragement. So what he does is he becomes kind of like a museum tour guide. And he says, let me take you on a tour of a museum. And this museum is called the Museum of Faith. And you're going to see a lot of different pictures on the wall in this museum. And let me tell you the stories behind these pictures. He says, let me tell you the story of Abel. And how Abel was righteous before God, and he was killed. And yet, even though he's dead, he still speaks. Let me tell you the story of Noah. See his picture there? He was faithful to God and obedient to God when he built an ark, when nobody even knew what rain was. And he was faithful to God when everybody thought he was crazy. Let me show you the picture of Abraham. And Abraham was someone who was called by God to go to another country that he didn't even know where this was and what God was doing, but he followed God. And God told him a promise that he would become a great nation. And even though he was old, didn't have any children, he believed that promise. He believed the Lord. In fact, he believed the Lord so much that he was willing to offer his only son, Isaac, when he eventually had a son, he was willing to offer that only son to God, trusting that somehow God would bring that son back to life. Look at that picture of Abraham. And he starts continuing this walk through the museum. Look at the picture of Isaac and Jacob, who trusted in God's future, even though they couldn't see it. Look at this picture of Joseph, who, even though he died in Egypt, he believed that someday God's people would be in the promised land. And so he said, don't bury me in Egypt. Take my bones to Canaan. And look at this picture of Moses' parents. Moses' parents, they took the risk of putting their baby boy up on the Nile River in a little bitty ark, little bitty boat, protecting that baby boy, trusting that somehow God was going to use that baby to do something great. They didn't know if that was going to happen or not, but they just trusted God that it would, and so they protected that baby boy. Then he says, look at the picture of Moses, who instead of living a life of luxury in Pharaoh's house, decided to identify with his people, to trust God, and to go where God led him to go. He says, look at this picture of the Red Sea. The Red Sea. The people of Israel crossed through that Red Sea on dry land, following the leading of God, trusting in God where he was taking them as the Egyptians started to chase after them. He says, look at this picture of Rahab. Rahab welcomed the spies into her home and trusted in a God that she had just only heard about, taking her own life in peril. Look at this picture of Jericho and how the walls of Jericho have fallen down because the people of God trusted that God would deliver them. And on, he shows them all these different pictures. In fact, he says in chapter 11, what more shall I say in verse 32? I don't have time to tell you about Gideon or Barak or Samson or Jephthah, David, Samuel, or the prophets. He says there's just so many good pictures in this museum. I just don't even have time to tell you all the stories. But I want you to hear the stories of these people. And if you read through this chapter of chapter 11, one thing you'll notice over and over again is that all the people in chapter 11, they all trusted God. They didn't know exactly what that was going to mean for the future, but they trusted God in the moment. And I think what the Hebrew writer is trying to tell these tired, worn-out Christians is you're tired and you're frustrated and you're discouraged, but there are witnesses from our past who have been right where you are right now, and they kept going, and they kept trusting, and they kept following, and they kept doing what God was calling them to do, and because of that, they were great men and women. Tom Long, in his commentary on the book of Hebrews, he says, faith is like swinging on a vine like Tarzan when all you have to trust on is the vine itself. I think that's a great image. And what the Hebrew writer is saying is, look at all these stories of all these people. They were swinging on a vine. They were just trusting that God was going to hold them up. And they didn't know if they were going to get to the other side. They didn't know if they were going to fall off that vine into the ravine. They were just holding on, holding on. Life for them was not always blue skies and sunshine. Life for them was not always easy. It was hard at times, but they held on. They held on. You have witnesses from your past who show you what faith is, who held on. And here at Southside, we want to be a church that's swinging on the vine. We want to be the Tarzan church. That's our new motto. We want to be a church that's swinging on the vine of faith, trusting. I don't know where this is going to lead. This is a little bit risky. This is a little bit dangerous. And I don't know if I can make it to the other side, but I'm going to hold on to this vine because I trust in the Lord. And the Hebrew writer was trying to call those Christians to have that same perspective. There have been people in your past who have held on to this vine of faith. You can too. You can too. They did it. You can do it too. I don't know about you, but when I start reading chapter 11 of Hebrews, sometimes I start to get a little discouraged because I hear what the Hebrew writer is saying. They held on. I can do it too. But when I start reading through these names, I start to think, there's no way I can be like these men and women. I can't be like Abraham or Noah or Moses or Gideon or Samson. Can't grow my hair that long. And I can get discouraged and think, their life was so different than mine. How can I follow in their example? And just the moment that the Hebrew writer or the Hebrew Christians, as they start to think through that same thought as they're leaving that museum of faith and think, well, there's a lot of great stories in this museum, but there's no way I can measure up to that. The moment they start thinking that, the Hebrew writer throws them a curveball. And I want you to hear what he says at the end of chapter 11, verses 39 and 40. He says, these, talking about the men and women of chapter 11, they were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Let me break down this verse for us. He's saying all of these people in Hebrews chapter 11, they never got what was promised to them. They never fully got to embrace all that God was doing. God promised that he was going to do great things, promised to Abraham that through the people that he was going to create, all the nations of the world will be blessed. He didn't get to embrace that whole promise. He didn't get to experience that whole promise. He just trusted God that somewhere down the road in the future, God would make that happen. But now, Christ has come. It says God has planned something better for us. That word better is a unique word in the book of Hebrews. It's used 13 times. And whenever it's used in the book of Hebrews, it's to talk about the person and work of Jesus. That Jesus is better. He's a better sacrifice. He's a better high priest. He brings a better covenant. He is better. And the Hebrew writer is saying all these men and women from the past, they didn't get to see the coming of Christ. They knew God was doing something great, but they never got to experience it. But Christ has come, and we now get to experience the blessings of Christ. We get to experience the fullness of salvation that comes to Christ. And because we get to experience it, we, along with those people from the past, we are connected. That's what he's saying. We are all connected so that together with us would they be made perfect. That we're all united in the same trajectory of faith. We're all connected in the same plan of redemption and salvation. It started a long, long time ago, but we're all connected. We're holding on to the same rope. Let me illustrate what I think the writer is trying to say to the Christians. So we've been using an image this summer of an anchor. And this is from Mac McAllister, and we thank him for letting us have this anchor. And we've talked about that. Our anchor is Jesus Christ, and he is in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and he is safe and secure, and we can hold on to him no matter what storm we're going through. Well, I'm going to extend this image a little bit. I'm going to have our anchor Jesus right here, and then I'm going to extend this rope out just for a little while. So hang with me while I extend this rope out, and I've got some volunteers who are going to come up to the front and help me. So hang on a little bit. Okay. So what he's saying is that connected to our anchor of Jesus, there is this long rope. And at the very end of the rope, we have these three young people from our youth group. This is Noah. Hi, Noah. I'm going to stand right here. And then, come here, Alice. This is David. And then we've got Tanner, who's Moses. Y'all hold on to the rope right here. Grab a hold of the rope. Okay, so what the Hebrew writer is saying is that these men and women of old, they were holding on to the rope of faith. Now, they didn't know that at the end of that rope was Jesus Christ. They didn't know that. They didn't know what the future held. They knew God was doing something great, but they didn't know exactly what it was. But they held on to that vine of faith, and they trusted God even when the future didn't always make sense. They endured the risk and the danger of the future because they were holding on to faith, just like these guys are holding this cord now. Well, fast forward several hundred years, and we have the apostles. Come on up, Debbie. And so the apostles and the early church took hold of this rope. Stand right here. Great. Hold on to that rope, okay? Debbie's representing the apostles. Now, the apostles, they knew a little bit more than Noah, David, and Moses knew. They got to experience Jesus. They got to walk with Jesus. They got to see that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior. Now, they didn't know all of what that was going to mean for the future. They didn't know what the church was exactly going to look like in fullness, but they helped start that movement. But they did know that Christ was Messiah, and so they took hold of the same rope that Noah and Moses and David had taken hold of. And they started holding on, despite the risk, despite the danger, despite all that was going on. They held on in faith. Okay, let's fast forward a couple hundred years. And I have a few people who are going to come up. Jeanette, if you can, let me help you up here. And I want you to walk all the way over here. Okay. And where's the, and then Joe, come on up, and Angelica, come on up. Okay, so Jeanette, how long have you been at Southside?
55 years, but not consecutive years, three different times.
She's been here 55 years, but you went to Sunday school here as a kid, right? Okay, went to Sunday school. She went to Sunday school here as a kid. Can you believe that? Okay. All right. Angelica, stand right here. Now, Angelica, how long have you been at Southside? She doesn't even know. But she was in the youth group here at Southside. Okay. Jim, how long have you been at Southside?
I don't know either.
His whole life. Okay. Okay. Joe, come stand here. Okay. Y'all take hold of the rope. Joe, how long have you been at Southside? 37 years. So what I want you to see is these people, when they came to this body of believers, they took hold of the rope of faith. It took hold of that rope of faith, and it was the same rope that the early Christians were holding, and it was the same rope that Noah, Moses, and David were holding. And they took hold of that faith, the rope of faith, and I would imagine, I know Jeanette fairly well, I would imagine that when she took hold of this rope, she didn't know what all the future was going to hold. She didn't know what possible things might happen. I know these guys that when they took hold of the rope, they didn't know exactly what the future would hold, but they were trusting in this anchor that they were going to hold on and they were going to stay faithful. And what the Hebrew writer is saying, look down the way. There is a rope, there is a chain that goes all the way back to Noah, and we're all holding the same rope. We're all connected to the same anchor. And while they didn't know exactly what the future was going to hold and what that meant, and while the early Christians didn't know the future, and while we don't know the future either, and sometimes it can be dangerous and risky, and sometimes we don't know if we can hold on, he says, keep holding on, because there's a long line of witnesses that are before you. A long line of witnesses that are before you. I like the way the Message puts Hebrews 12. If we can go to that slide, Hebrews chapter 12. Should be, is there another slide in between there? Oh, sorry. Thought there was. Been gone for 2 weeks, so I forgot my slides. Hebrews chapter 12 says this. Do you see what this all means? All these pioneers who blazed the way. All the veterans who are cheering us on. It means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. That's what the Hebrew writer was trying to get across to those Christians and to all of us. There is a long line of witnesses who have been holding on to the rope of faith for a long time. And they've blazed the trail, and they're cheering us on. And so it's our turn. It's my turn. It's your turn to come alongside and grab a hold of the rope of faith and hold on. And so he says, get at it. Start running. Be faithful. Let's give all of our helpers a round of applause. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Whenever I think about the point that the Hebrew writer is making, that there is this everlasting cord that stretches from Noah all the way to us, that's connected to the anchor of Jesus Christ, it reminds me of what the church really is. And I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to say. That a lot of times when we think about church, we can think of church as a place. That church is a place where I come to do mission. Or church is a place where I come so I can bring my children to learn about Jesus or be a part of a youth group or something like that. Or church is a place where I can come and do service or acts of mercy for people. And certainly church does those kinds of things. But when we see this everlasting cord that stretches all the way back from Noah to all of us today. It's a reminder that fundamentally, church is not a place. It is a people. It is a group of people who have come together, who have all taken hold of that rope of faith tied to the anchor of Jesus, and who are walking together. I get really frustrated when people view the church as a restaurant. And if you don't like the food or the management, you go somewhere else. That's not who we are. We are a group of people. And when you become a partner in the gospel here at Southside, your life becomes interconnected with all the other lives here. And we all take hold of the rope of faith as a community of believers, and we all start walking together on a journey. And yes, sometimes the journey gets really frustrating because there's someone in our community of believers that might annoy us or irritate us. And yes, sometimes Satan gets at us and hurts us and things get difficult. But the key thing is about being church means we are on this journey of faith together. We walk together. We serve together. We journey together. When we're tired and frustrated and discouraged and burnt out, we keep walking together. Why? Because we are connected to this rope of faith that goes all the way back to a long line of witnesses who have all done the same thing for generations, who have journeyed together trusting that God is going to be with us no matter what we go through. And so one message that I want us to hear this morning is whatever it is that you're going through, you are not alone. We are in this together. We're holding on the same rope. And so if you're trying to raise teenagers and it's difficult, you're not alone. We're in this together. If you're on the journey of recovery from addiction, you are not alone. We're holding on the same rope. And we're in this together. If you're a widow or a widower and you're struggling with grief, you are not alone. We are in this together. If you're going through a financial issue or problem in your marriage, trouble with your children, you are not alone. We're holding to the same rope. We are in this together. We are journeying together. That's what the Hebrew writer is saying. There's a long line of witnesses all the way back to Noah. They're holding the same rope, and we are doing this together. We're walking together. And to illustrate this, I want us to do something together. I want you to take out your phone, if you've got a smartphone. This is the only time in church where you're allowed to get out your, and actually encouraged to get out your phone. By the way, if you haven't silenced it, go ahead and silence it. I'm just joking. I want you to open up your text messaging app. If you're already confused, don't worry about it, okay? Open up your text messaging app. I'm serious. I want you to do this. I want you to go to the body, and I want you to type into the body this right here. I am thankful, T-H-A-N-K-F-U-L, for, F-O-R, you, period, space, keep holding on, exclamation point. Did you get that? I am thankful for you, period. Keep holding on, exclamation point. I want you to go up to the address line. I want you to type someone's name who's a part of our church. Type someone's name who's a part of our church. And then I want you to click send. It's okay if we get a few dings. Don't worry, if you send it to me, it's not going to ding. I have mine silenced, so if you're thinking you're going to mess me up. You might be thinking, well, I'm not getting a ding. Nobody's encouraging me. That's not the point, okay? This is about encouraging others. Because sometimes we need to pop up and hear the encouragement of the crowd. Because we're in this thing together. You can put your phones away now. The passage in Hebrews 12 closes with the image of a race. It moves from the image of a museum to the image of holding on to a cord to the image of a race. And I want you to hear again what Bailey read to us. Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The picture is that the journey of faith is like a race, and we're on the track, and we're running. And it says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. That word cloud is a really unique word. In fact, this is the only time this Greek word is used in the New Testament, is right here, cloud. In extra biblical writings, when this word is used, sometimes it's used and translated as crowd. So I want you to take out the word cloud, and I want you to put in the word crowd. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. It could be that what the writer is trying to say is all of those witnesses from the past, they're actually in the stands. And as we're running this race, there is this incredible crowd of Noah and Abraham and Abel, and Enoch, and Moses' parents, and Moses, and Gideon, and Barak, and Jephthah, and Peter, and Paul, and Andrew, and James, and John. And yes, maybe even those faithful who have gone on before us. And they're all in the crowd. And they're watching us, maybe. And they're saying this, keep going. Keep running. You're doing great. Make it to the end. This next slide is a picture of a runner in the Paralympics. His name is, I can find it here really quickly, Hussein Omar Hassan. He's at the Paralympics because you can tell he doesn't have a right arm. And he's running the 1,500-meter race. As he's started this 1,500-meter race, he all of a sudden had an injury on his right leg, but he kept going. It was the slowest 1,500-meter race ever recorded in the Paralympics, but he kept going. He kept going because he wanted to finish. When the crowd saw what was happening, that he was injured, that he was slow, but that he wanted to finish. For 7 minutes, the crowd gave him a standing ovation. Isn't it cool to think that we are surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses who are holding on to the same rope of faith that we are, and maybe, just maybe, as they look at you, as I look at all of us, maybe they're standing. Keep going. You're doing great. Keep going. Finish the race. Don't give up.
Keep going. We've been there. We know it's hard when you get around that curve. Keep going.
And ever so often, we need to pop up and hear that encouragement. Let's pray. Lord, we admit this morning that too often we can get frustrated and tired and weary. We're trying to follow you and trying to do what's right, trying to be your people. And yet sometimes, Lord, we get broken down, we fall short, we sin, people disappoint us, bad things happen, brokenness of this world tears us down. And we want to give up. We want to quit swinging from the vine because it's too dangerous, too risky, and we're scared. But Lord, we see this morning that there have been witnesses for generations who have been right where we've been. And they've been holding on to the rope of faith in the most difficult of times. And we're invited to join that same rope of faith and to hold on. And Lord, we are so encouraged to know that there are people from a long ago who are in the crowd. And they're cheering us on. And we're in this together. We're walking this journey together. We're on this race together. And Lord, help us to keep going. Help us to keep running. Help us to push off whatever sin is standing in our way and to start running the race and finish with your glory ahead of us. Your son Jesus is our pioneer, and he's waiting at the finish line, Lord. We know that. And so, Lord, help us to not let our eyes not be fixed on him. Help us to be focused on him all the way to the end. This is our prayer. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song of invitation, and our ministers and elders are going to surround this auditorium. And if you just need to know that you're in this with a body of believers, if you need encouragement, if you've got a prayer request that you want to share, there's something going on that you want the church to know about, just walk over to one of these ministers or elders, one of your spiritual leaders during this song. Let them pray with you, for you. Or maybe you're ready to take the step of baptism. If you haven't been baptized, you're not holding on to the rope of faith. You're on the sidelines. And maybe today is your day to take a hold of that rope of faith, have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus, and start running the race with us. We want you to do that. We welcome you to do that. Just during this song, come to the front, and we'll help you do that. If we can help you this morning, please come now as together we stand and sing.